It is time for preaching, and I hope you have your King James Bible there ready and handy. You're going to need it. We've got a message today that, I tell you what, it's going to be tough. There'll probably be some folks that don't really like this message, but, you know, I have to preach whatever the Lord gives me, and He's been dealing with me on this message for, I don't know, probably 3 weeks, and I've been kind of working on it, praying, and studying and doing a lot of research, and I believe this is where the Lord would have us this morning. We're going to be taking our text out of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20 today, with our main focus being on verse 12 of Ephesians 6, but when you get there, we'll read those first or verses 10 through 20, and then we'll get right in the message. I'm using a special Bible today. This Bible belonged to my grandfather, the Reverend Ed Spencer, and I was given this Bible a few years ago from my Uncle Ronnie. He gave it to me, and I'm just glad to have it, and I wish I could preach like my grandfather could preach. I can't do that, but let's read along here. Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. God, thank you for the good service we've had thus far. Lord, we're just praying now that you help us. Lord, anoint me to be able to preach this morning with all wisdom and power that only you can provide. And Lord, let you be present and seen. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I made the statement in my sermon last Sunday that I don't believe things are going to get any better in this world. I said that I don't believe we're going to see a full world revival anytime. I believe, according to the Bible, things are just going to get worse and worse. They're not getting better. The Bible is very clear on that. 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." That word perilous, that means very bad. Lots of peril. Things are going to happen that you've never seen happen before. And this is coming to light now. We're seeing Bible prophecy unfold daily, as we see all the events that's going on around this world. I'm going to be talking about some of those today. I'm going to be mentioning some things that may be very offensive to some people, but you need to just listen to what the Bible says and see how this lines up with Scripture. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So this tells us things are not getting better and better. They're getting worse and worse. The men, the women, mankind is getting worse and worse. He says this in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Let me tell you something this morning. If I was up here preaching cotton candy and sugar sticks, I would have a large following. If I would go out here and preach man's thoughts and ideas and ideology and theology, I would probably have a large listening audience. I don't. You want to know why? Because men don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear. They have their ears are itching. They want them scratched. And so they'll heap themselves to these men that will stand up, call themselves pastors and preachers, and they'll preach everything but the truth. And so we see the Bible is the prophecies come true. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Has there ever been a time in history that you've seen such things happening as happening now? I don't think so. Even in that Roman Empire culture, while it was really bad, I believe we're getting at least equal with that or worse than it was during the Roman era. We're seeing so many awful, sadistic, disgusting, just hellish things today. If you read Romans chapter 1 and look down through there in verses 18 through 32, where it deals with this wickedness, it talks about mankind and how they become vain in their own imaginations. And how eventually God gives them over to their foolish hearts. It says their foolish hearts are darkened, that He gives them up to a reprobate mind. That is a mind that's completely void of God. That is a mind that is only set on me, myself, and I, and any kind of evil that I can commit, that kind of mind is what they have. And that's what we're seeing today. And God's going to give them over to it. Vile affections, it says there in Romans. And so, all this stuff that's happening, we're seeing the Scripture fulfilled in these days we're living in, and they're not getting better, they're getting worse. You may have seen this last week. This happened, actually, this article came out last June, this past June, but is just now being passed around on social media, and people are talking about it. But this article was written by the Assistant Director of Research at the University of California, Center for Religion and Civic Culture. Her name is Heba Farag. The name of her article is "The Fight for Black Lives is a Spiritual Movement." The Fight for Black Lives is a Spiritual Movement is the article. Let me read you some very disturbing things from this article. She writes in here, the Black Lives Matters Network has embraced female and queer leadership. That's their words, not mine. They use that word for themselves. Now, when I was growing up, you didn't use that word. That was a word that was profane. So we didn't use that word. I know there's some preachers today that use it very casually and very easily. I don't like that. I don't like to use that word. I don't think it's appropriate. But that's what they're calling themselves now. It says they embrace female and queer leadership along with membership often shunned and or marginalized by traditional faith groups, thus disrupting a legacy of civil rights leadership that is largely heteronormative and almost exclusively male. It goes on to say the movement for black lives works towards the goal of not just racial justice. Make sure you pay attention to that. It's not just racial justice. In fact, that is very far back on the burner. They don't really care about black lives. Okay? Listen to what it says. But freedom of the mind and the spirit. It encourages healing justice so that people can heal from trauma and engage as the best version of themselves. The movement infuses a syncretic blend of African and indigenous cultures, spiritual practices and beliefs, embracing ancestor worship, Ifa-based rituals such as chanting, dancing, and summoning deities, and healing practices such as acupuncture, Reiki, therapeutic massage, and plant medicine in much of its work, including protest, that work through often remains invisible. And she just laid out there the agenda of this so-called Black Lives Matters movement, the agenda. It is not about black lives. They throw that in there, but it's about spiritual things. That's the whole thing. The fight for black lives is a spiritual movement. It's not a black movement. It's a spiritual movement. It's not a race movement, it's a spiritual movement. And this spirit is not the same spirit that you and I know about. It's not the spirit of God, it's a spirit of their God, which is the devil. This spirit that they are, do you see what they said? That they're having seances, acupuncture, Reiki, therapeutic massage, ancestor worship, Ifa-based rituals such as chanting, dancing, summoning deities, they're calling on the dead. in this. And they even say that these protests, that's what this is about. And so you might have seen in on Facebook or social media, them talking about the Black Lives Movement is summoning the dead. And they are. They are summoning the dead to help them in this movement. Pay attention to the hashtags that are being used. You may think, well, that's no big deal. It's just bringing attention to something. Yet, those hashtags, they are praying over them in demonic spirits. They're praying over the hashtags to use so they can do the most damage, or for them, the most good. And so the hashtags are deliberately chosen for reasons, because they've been chosen for demonic purposes. Now, Black Lives Matter has been around for 6 years already. We've just started hearing about them because of the recent things that's going on here in our country. But they've been around for 6 years. It started because of the self-defense shooting of a young man named Trayvon Martin. I'm sure y'all remember that. Happened 6 years ago. He's the one that President Obama said, if I had a son, he could look like Trayvon. And that just set the world on fire when he said this. And this young black man was in a place, and this George Zimmerman confronted him, and the young black man attacked him, got him on the ground, beat his head in the ground, was going to kill him, and George Zimmerman shot him and killed him. Now, he was acquitted by a jury. They found him not guilty by reason of self-defense. The Florida Stand Your Ground law was in effect, and he stood his ground. He felt like he was going to die. He shot and killed this attacker. So when this happened, when he was found not guilty, the world broke down like you've never seen it before. Now, we have people today saying, we've never seen things like what's going on today under this current administration. They must have forgot all about this. They must have forgot all about the gangs, the thousands of men and gangs going through Charlotte, North Carolina, and burning down the cities and the stores. This happened several years ago, so this is not a new thing. So all of this is take place here. When they discovered that George Zimmerman was found not guilty, these three women began the Black Lives Matter movement. It's for racial injustices, they said. It's to combat racial injustice. Well, if you go to their website, you're going to discover it's not really about this racial injustice. These three women, their names are Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi. Two of them identify themselves as, they use the word again, queer. They're not using gay or homosexual or anything like that. They use the word queer, referring to themselves. These two women have married their transgender partners. And the other one is a legal fighter for transgender rights. So this movement has nothing to do really with black lives. It's LGBT plus Q, and all this other things are thrown in there. So it's a demonic movement of spiritual wickedness. And this is what the Bible's talking about, spiritual wickedness. Now, in our opening text, the Apostle Paul, who is the human penman of the epistle here of Ephesians, he's writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's warning them about such things as we're seeing today, the spiritual wickedness that we find. Now, Paul is in prison when this happens, and so things were really bad at that point. He was being persecuted for his beliefs in Christ. The Jews and the Romans both were persecuting Paul, and so he's in prison. And so he's writing this letter to the churches, and we see by reading down in verse 20 of our opening text where he said, I am an ambassador in bonds, he's in jail. So even though he's been a chosen preacher to the Gentiles, he's the that's what God has appointed him to do. He still has to face all these things, and so he's locked up. Now his goal here is to strengthen believers, strengthen the church. If you're a Christian today, you're considered part of the church. You may not be part of your local assembly, but you're considered part of the Lord's church. And so he's writing to people that are saved. It's not people that are lost that he's warning here. It's saved people. And he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, as Christians, we have rights to certain power that God gives us. It don't mean that you can call on lightning from the sky or be like Elijah and call down fire or nothing like that. It's not what that means. But the Lord gives us power. He gives us power through the Holy Spirit. Power to recognize spiritual things from wickedness. And so that is one thing we need to do. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." We need to remember there's safety in the Lord. It may seem like we're being outnumbered today with all the wickedness that's going on. It may seem like the world has completely gone to hell already. But it's not there yet. Meanwhile, we have to understand the Lord is our mighty tower. He's our strong tower, and our righteousness, the Bible says, runneth to it and is safe. And then Paul begins instructing them on what they need to do to combat this evil and wickedness in this world. He said in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So, he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say part of the armor. Don't go out there in just a helmet because you're going to get it somewhere else. Don't go out there just your feet shod because you're going to get it in the head. Yep. All the pieces of armor are needed. Now, this armor, what is it? It's a wardrobe. It's just like right today, I went into the closet to choose what I was going to wear today, and I picked out, and I think I matched today. My wife didn't pick out my outfit today for the first time, and I did it, and I think I matched. But down in verses 14 through 17, Paul gives us all six pieces of God's whole armor. In verse 14, loins girt about with truth. So that's the belt of truth. We had a Bible school just a few years ago where we talked about the whole armor of God. And we had a little song and everything we made up about all the pieces of the armor. Verse 14, again, the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, the shield of faith. Verse 17, helmet of salvation. Verse 17, sword of the Spirit. So, what did he name off in this wardrobe? The belt, the breastplate, the footwear, the shield, the helmet, the sword. All of these pieces of God's whole armor describe what the Christian needs to put on every day. These are not physical pieces of material. This is not a physical wardrobe. It's a spiritual wardrobe. Spiritual. Every piece of it is a spiritual piece. Because the battle that we are up against today, the wickedness that's going on in this world right now, is a spiritual battle. Now sure, it becomes physical. People are dying. People are getting shot. People are getting all kinds of things happen to them. But on the basis of it, it's a spiritual battle that we're seeing. Verse 12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." All these spiritual enemies are invisible to our eye. We can't see the spiritual wickedness, the enemy, the spirits, but yet they do put on a bodily form when they're in men and women today. And so when you see one of these, the peaceful protests, that suddenly turns into a tragic riot and people are dying left and right and buildings are being burnt down and all this. You can't see the wicked spirit that's in those people, but that's what's causing them to do this. Now, granted, we are flesh and blood and we act out on our flesh, but these people are being influenced by black spirits, dark spirits, wicked spirits, and Paul mentioned them there. He says there are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the world. All these things are influencing these so-called protests today. These recent ones started back in May, believe it or not, May 26th, the day a career criminal, George Floyd, and everybody knows his name, say his name, we said his name, everybody knows it, he's a career criminal. He was a career criminal. All kinds of things, been in prison, on drugs, so many things that he was doing. And he died while in police custody. Of course, everybody did the knee-jerk reaction, blamed it on the cop that had his knee on his neck. But after he's been examined, it's been proven that was not what killed him. He killed himself from a drug overdose. He had over the amount of drugs in his system that his body could take, and that's what killed him. It cut off the oxygen to his heart. He no longer could beat. That's why he kept saying, "I can't breathe," even when they wasn't on his neck. Even when he was sitting up in the car, he said, "I can't breathe." He was dying from a drug overdose. And so when all this happened, and of course the news is there, everybody's got a smartphone, videotaping everything. Instead of anybody helping the guy, they're all videotaping it. You know, they want to get a viral video or something, or be known all over the world. Well, people immediately place blame on law enforcement. And Floyd, being a career criminal, was being arrested for a crime while he was high on drugs and resisting arrest. If you watch the whole video, he's resisting arrest. And, they're trying to arrest him. Well, who cares about the facts, right? So Seattle, Washington broke out in protest that turns into riots. At one point, the Black Lives Matter members, they've taken over entire city blocks of the city. They called it the Chop Zone, Capitol Hill is what that meant. It was a chop zone. They wouldn't allow any police officers in there. They had guards standing up. These were not people that were policemen. These were so-called Black Lives Matter security. Not allowing anybody in, and it became chaos. They burnt down the city. They destroyed businesses. It was just brutal. And it wasn't until a 16-year-old boy got shot and killed in the chop zone that the police finally went in, dismantled it, arrested the leaders of the chop zone. And you can see the leaders crying and stuff as they're taking them off to prison. Real tough guys. But Portland, Oregon just entered its 100th day of riots. I saw it in the paper just last night. They've entered the 100th day of rioting in that city. It just keeps going on and on. I know I'm spending a considerable amount of time telling you about this, but I'm making a point here. I'm showing you how the scripture that we're reading in Ephesians is lining up with what's happening today. It's prophecy being fulfilled. On June the 12th, down in Atlanta, Georgia, another career criminal, Rayshard Brooks, was asleep in the drive-thru at a Wendy's restaurant. Somebody called the police, said there's some guy asleep in the drive-thru. He won't move. We can't wake him up. They come out. They do a breathalyzer on him. He's drunk. He's past the limit. He also is a career criminal. And he resists arrest. When they try to handcuff him, he turns around and grabs a taser from one of the cops and hits him and runs. And while he's running, the cop chased after him. He turns around, fires the taser at him, so the cop shot him in the back. I believe he shot three times and hit him twice and killed the man. Well, of course, what happened from this? Instead of people saying, well, he was a career criminal, resisting arrest, got what he deserved, what do they say? Here's another case of police brutality against a black man. It's not the case. It doesn't matter if he was a white man. The same thing would have happened. What this is spiritual wickedness. That same day, protesters begin gathering at that Wendy's, and they burn it down. That really helped matters. Most recently, August 23rd, as police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, were trying to arrest Jacob Blake, who also is another career criminal. Look it up. You'll find this information. He was being charged for sexual assault. He had raped, I believe it was a minor. Also theft and disorderly conduct. And when officers tried to arrest him, he pulled a knife out, resisted arrest, ran around, opened his car door, reached down into the floorboard, and that's when they shot 7 times. And striking him, and he didn't die, he's paralyzed now. I believe he's paralyzed from the waist down. Well, of course, this caused more rioting. Kenosha, Wisconsin has been literal hell on earth ever since August the 23rd. One 17-year-old boy that was there in the crowd trying to defend himself, he's being chased by all these rioters. He had a gun, and he shot and killed one and wounded two others. He's being crucified in the news media and in the public. I believe our president spoke out and said that he was defending himself. And of course, that just made a total meltdown. But we see things like the NBA now has decided they're going to protest because of the shooting of this career criminal, Jacob Blake. The NFL has put his name on the back of their helmets. And people ask, what about the victims? What about his victims? The ones that he sexually assaulted, how do they feel about this, knowing that they're doing this? Listen, I could keep going on and on and on about all the senseless, crazy rioting and mayhem. It's happening all over the country, and even in other countries. And so, you know, each and every one of these is only an excuse for people to act out on their animal instincts. on their animal desires and lust, and they're being driven by Satan himself. Paul said that we were fighting against the wiles of who? The devil. We're not fighting against the wiles of man. It's not flesh and blood, he said. It's spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness comes from Satan, the originator of lies and sin. And so, look, it's happening everywhere. And people are thriving on violence. People say, well, all this is happening because of bad police officers, or racism, or social injustice, blah, blah, blah. It's got nothing to do about any of that. It's wickedness. The reason for all this, the spiritual wickedness, the Bible says, and that's what it says we're wrestling against. Look at it again, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means a physical man. That's not who we're wrestling against. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when he says this, he isn't meaning that we aren't having confrontation with people, with flesh and blood people. We are. That's who's causing the riots. That's who's doing the murdering. That's all this is people, but they're being driven by spiritual wickedness. We have flesh and blood enemies, and we always have and always will. But the battle is between us and the wickedness, spiritual darkness. And so it's Satan. The whole reason we're told to put on the whole armor in the first place, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he lists some of these devils, some of these spirits. He says they're principalities and powers. That word principality means to come first, to lead. Over a school system, you have a principal. He's the leader of the school. He's the one that oversees things. This spirit is a leading spirit. He's one of the top spirits. And he's referring to the leading demonic spirits. And so it could mean, perhaps, some of these government officials that we're seeing today, that we're having to deal with. They're being spiritually led by demonic influences. They have power over all these cities where all this is going on. Have you noticed it? Have you took notice of the cities that this is happening in? Who is in charge of those cities? Who the principalities are? How about Lori Lightfoot in Chicago? The Democratic mayor of the third largest city in the United States. She's an openly gay black woman married to a woman. She flaunts it every chance she gets. She's as corrupt as a person can possibly be. You know, I don't have to talk about her physical appearance. Everybody calls her Beetlejuice because she's very different looking. I'm not talking about her personal looks, but I'm talking about her demonic spirit about her. And it is, and you can see it and hear it in her the way she speaks. She's very corrupt. She's ran Chicago $1.2 billion in debt and is blaming it on President Trump. Okay. How about John Antrimian? He's the Democratic mayor of Kenosha, where all this recent rioting took place. He's refused help from the government, from Trump, as he watches his own city burn to the ground. And he's now begging for $30 million from the U.S. government to rebuild his city after he stood by and watched it burn. How about Jenny Durkin? She's the Democratic mayor of Seattle, Washington, where the chop zone was created. Hundreds of businesses burnt down. People's lives destroyed. Stores looted. And when she let her city get out of control, President Trump offered to send in the National Guard, and she refused. She said, didn't want them there. She said that he needed to go back to his bunker, and they didn't want his help, and Black Lives Matter, is what she said in an interview. Too bad it took the killing of the 16-year-old boy in the chop zone to finally send law enforcement in and dismantle it. And we see where they're at today. So things are not getting any better. What about one more I'll give you? Ted Wheeler. This is an interesting guy. He's a Democratic mayor of Portland, Oregon, where the George Floyd protest got national attention. This guy actually participated in the riots that were going on. The mayor of the city of Portland actually was part of it until law enforcement threw tear gas in and he ran like a little girl screaming and has never went back to the protest. Now he's had to move out of his mansion because the protesters are protesting in his front yard. he doesn't feel safe. So he had to move out of his home. He said this last week in the news conference. Somebody asked, or Mayor Ted Wheeler asked, "Do you seriously wonder, Mr. President, why this is the first time in decades that America has seen this level of violence? It's you who have created the hate and division. It's you who have not found a way to say the names of black people killed by police officers, even as people in law enforcement have. And it's you who claim that white supremacists are good people," he continued. "Your campaign of fear is as anti-democratic as anything you've done to create hate and vitriol in our beautiful country." Where is this guy? What in the world? He's in a different world. He's in a demonic world. A spiritual wickedness world. You see what he's trying to do? He's trying to take the darkness and the blame that's supposed to be there and place it on someone else. He's not going to take credit for it. Again, another Democratic field leader placing blame on everybody but himself. And that little statement he made, "America's never seen this level of violence." Really? Yes, we have. And just 6 years ago, we were seeing this level of violence. And so, and also let's not forget all the high-ranking officials in the government right now in Washington, D.C. So much wickedness, murdering little babies in the womb, laughing about it, applauding it, passing laws to allow it, right up to the day of birth and even after birth, if the parent chooses to do so. Love it, love it, love it, they do. They're demonically possessed. Paul says they're rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, there's many such rulers in this world, in history of it. There's always has been. You've got the Pharaohs, the Nebuchadnezzars, the Caesars, the Neros, evil men like Genghis Khan, Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, Kim Jong-un. All these people are demonically possessed spiritually by the devil. They have to be. Paul says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Need I remind you of who Satan was? He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was the song leader of heaven. And he was cast out of heaven. Now, you know what he's called? He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the prince of this world. Everybody says Jesus is the prince of this world. No, he's not. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. But I want you to know right now, Satan is the one in charge of this world. God's allowing it. There's going to be a day when he will take back his rightful ownership of mankind in this world. The Lord will rule and reign. But right now, we see the Bible says that the devil is the prince of this world. He's very much alive and well today. His demonic powers, his spiritual wickedness, it permeates the very air that we breathe right now. You can't see it. You can't see, but right now, in the air, there's spiritual wickedness, there's black spirits, demonic spirits passing through, just like radio waves. You can't see those. They're invisible. So are these spirits. And they're entering into willing and able men and women today. They're allowing it to happen. Black Lives Matter, we call on the dead, the deities, to help us. Demonic spirits, it's a spiritual battle. These other groups, Antifa, they're also demonically influenced. These other groups. And listen, you may not be able to see them with your naked eyes, but whenever you see another riot, another building burned, another store looted, another senseless shooting, another wicked leader rise into power, then rest assured, spiritual wickedness is in control. It's in control. Now, when the government makes it legal or illegal for churches to congregate together, California, it's illegal now for these churches to congregate together, but it's fine if you want to go out with thousands of people and protest. It's fine if you want to go to Walmart and jam-pack in there. It's fine if you want to do all this, but don't go to church. And heaven forbid that you sing in church. There'll be no singing, they said. So when this is allowed, we see there's an attack upon the church. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but it's going to try its best. It's going to, because of spiritual darkness. So what do we do? Well, the Bible says we're to stand. To do all, stand. It says to put on that spiritual armor because we're in a battle with wickedness. He says to watch and pray. Those are very important things. Watch what's happening. Use your discernment the Holy Spirit gives you and pray while you're doing it. Verse 18, as we close, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with a capital S, meaning the Spirit of God, the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The King James Bible has Spirit with a capital S, meaning God, the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we are to persevere. Not that we have to maintain our salvation by persevering, but we must persevere as Christians in this world of darkness. We know that men love the darkness. Jesus came in his own received him not. Why? Because men love the darkness because of their evil deeds. They didn't want to manifest. Now they don't care. They want their evil deeds manifest. The darkness walks among us in the light. Our job right now, as Paul said, is we're in a battle with spiritual wickedness. Look for it, watch for it, pray, and be a shining light in this world of darkness. That's what we're to do. Reflect the light of the S-O-N, Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, thanking you so much for the message. Lord, I know it's been hard. Lord, I know there's a lot of people that won't agree with everything that's been said today. But God, we've used your holy word, and Lord, we believe it's the truth. And Lord, we're just praying for this country, for our leadership, praying for our families today, praying for churches and their leadership. God, that we will do our due diligence. God, that we will persevere, we will watch, we will pray, and that we'll be shining lights in this world of darkness. But we need you to help us, Lord. You know we're weak, we're flesh, and we'll fail. But God, we know with man it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we know that and believe it. We need you. Lord, for that one that may be listening today that's lost as lost can be, God, they may be blazing mad right now over what I've said. God, would you please, through the Holy Spirit, would you do a work in them? Lord, convict their evil black hearts and let them know, Lord, that there's going to be a day of judgment where every man will stand before a righteous judge. As the Lord Jesus Christ, God, will bow before him, Lord, everyone, all of our needs will be open and naked in his eyes. Lord, show them their need for salvation before it's too late. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you for our church. Thank you for those who are here and those listening online. And God, we're now asking you to bless the food that we're going to have. Lord, as we have this great homecoming celebration that you've enabled us to have, God, you're the one that supplied the finances, the tithes, the offerings that our members have given, been able to supply these needs for us, support these missionaries. And God, we're just looking for great things in the future that I know that you have for us. Lord, may we be obedient to you. Lord, may we step out, be bold in the sharing of the gospel. And Lord, just be a light in this world. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. And amen.